Tuesday of the fourth week of ordinary time. The gospel is Mark 5, 21 to 43. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and he stayed close to the sea. One of the synagogue officials, named Jairus, came forward. Seeing him, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please come lay your hands on her, that she may get well and live." He went off with him, and a large crowd followed him. There was a woman afflicted with hemorrhages for 12 years. She had suffered greatly at the hands of many doctors and had spent all that she had, yet she was not helped, but only grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. She said, "If I touch his clothes, I shall be cured." Immediately, her flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Jesus, aware at once that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who has touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see how the crowd is pressing upon you, and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. The woman, realizing what had happened to her, approached in fear and trembling. She fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." While he was still speaking, people from the synagogue's official's house arrived and said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" Disregarding the message that was reported, Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid. Just have faith." He did not allow anyone to accompany him inside, except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they arrived at the house of the synagogue official, he caught sight of the commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. So he went in and said to them, "Why this commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." And they ridiculed him. Then he put them all out. He took along the child's father and mother and those who were with him, and entered the room where the child was. He took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." The girl, a child of 12, arose immediately and walked around. At that, they were utterly astounded. He gave strict orders that no one should know this, and said that she should be given something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord. Dear family, here we see two healings from Jesus Christ that are beyond human capacity. the woman had gone to all the doctors and to no avail. And of course, the girl was dead, and so Jesus was ridiculed when he talked about that she was asleep. So let us go now to Jairus. Who is this man? He is an official from the synagogue, and therefore a religious man of authority, but in quite a contrast to the attitude of the Pharisees and the scribes, this man is humble and has faith. It's even more extraordinary if you consider that the last time that Jesus was in the synagogue, it ended with a plot to kill him. And so Jairus needed to overcome the commentaries against Jesus, his own danger of losing status before the Pharisees and the scribes. You know how all those factors play in our decisions. I don't want to expose myself to criticism. And how about if the girl is not healed? Then I will be mocked along with Jesus. In other words, we are afraid that exposing our faith in Jesus may bring us trouble from his enemies. And increasingly, this is going to be a factor in our culture. Even inside the church, to have a strong faith in Jesus is often ridiculed and rejected. One simple example, how many times I've heard parents who have numerous children, even in their parishes, being criticized and sly and cynical comments made about the fact that they have many children. So their faith, their openness to life, brings on them this kind of rejection. So this is the man Jairus. This is a man who is focused on faith in God, is willing to humble himself before Jesus, and he loves his daughter dearly to risk so much in her behalf. Now let us go to the woman who had the hemorrhages of blood. The woman reaches out her hand to Jesus. Interesting, Jesus takes the hand of the dead girl. So in both cases, there is a very intimate contact, hand to hand. The woman is in a very difficult health situation, but she can still approach Jesus, and she does, and touches Jesus. The dead girl cannot do that. In that case, Jesus touches her. Don't be afraid to touch. Don't be afraid to get close to Jesus. Now, this woman, also like Jairus, had to overcome tremendous obstacles to get to Jesus. First of all, there's a crowd pressing against him, and that's already discouraging. It's hard to approach in that kind of situation. But she does it. And we see that healing in scriptures often occur not just by word, but by physical contact. And so touching, imposing hands, embracing, all this touches, the gazing upon the eyes, all these are, if done with authentic faith, are means by which the Lord brings about healing. Now, this woman is afflicted with hemorrhages, a flow of blood. Do you know what that means? Well, she was considered to be in a perpetual state of ritual impurity, according to the law of Moses. So anything she would touch or anything that she sits on would become unclean. That's including human beings. She touches somebody, that person would be considered unclean. So everybody would want to avoid contact with her. And also, if she's married, she was forbidden to have sexual relationships even with her husband. And worst of all, she was prohibited from entering the temple to worship with God's people because she was considered unclean. So think about what all this means to this poor woman. She is like a leper. She is alienated from relationship with God in worship, relationship with her family, with brothers and sisters. And yet this woman shows extraordinary faith. She doesn't give up. If I but touch his clothes, I shall be cured. She did not close herself in depression, in hopelessness. She pierced all those barriers and went to Jesus. Now again, the fullness of healing, and spiritual as well as physical, occurs only in a personal encounter with Jesus himself. And so the beginning was touching the tip of his cloth. But once that happened, Jesus turned around, desiring to meet his gaze with hers in a contact, in a intimate encounter. And when this happens, well, she is afraid. This is a constant theme in the gospel. People afraid when they are coming in touch with Jesus. Remember in the gospel yesterday, after he delivered the possessed man, the people of the area became afraid and they wanted him out. This woman is afraid because, I mean, she was breaking the law by touching him to begin with, and now she's exposed, and the awesomeness of the experience, she's just been healed, brings her to this fear, and the Lord very lovingly calls her daughter and brings healing upon her. Now, look at the attitude of the apostles. When Jesus asks, "Who touched me?" they feel obliged to help the Lord to gain some common sense and some realism. Like, what do you mean, who touched you? The crowd is pressing upon you. Everybody's touching you. Well, but there's a difference in this touch. And the difference is faith. It's not just the famous Jesus, you know, like pressing just to be able to touch him. This woman is touching with faith. It's a very different thing. And Jesus can tell the difference. Now, when we go to communion, do we just go and receive and feel that we've been good because we did that? Or is it a real touch where I open my heart with faith, where I become vulnerable to him so that he can work in my heart so that the fullness of healing can occur? So the Lord tells her, go in peace. Peace, in this Jewish sense, means harmony with God, well-being. She's not only healed physically, but restored in her soul, in her relationship with God. She knows that she is so deeply loved by God. So how often do we merely bump up against Jesus don't really understand how he wants to bring us to a much deeper intimacy that we've had before? How much do we understand where God wants to take us in this union? So as this is going on, the people from this Jairus' house come and say, oh, why trouble the teacher any longer? Your daughter is dead. Now, this is very important. Jesus wants to be troubled. Never say, well, God is too busy. My situation is one of too many. Just like the woman with the hemorrhages, Jesus loves you, not as a number in a crowd. He knows you and loves you personally. And he wants you to trouble him in that sense of talking to him, seeking him, desiring to be closer to him. He longs for you to have that faith. And notice that the situation of Jairus is now much worse than when he first approached Jesus. At first, the girl was very ill. But now she's dead. And, well, maybe he could go into the angle of complaining, is this woman with the hemorrhages that got in the way and delayed Jesus, and that's why my daughter died? Have you ever seen something like that happen? We get angry and we get frustrated because things are not done in our way. The controlling part of us is so real, isn't it? And we have to trust and wait on the Lord. And oftentimes, when you seek the Lord, when you renounce to the ways of the Lord, things seem to get worse. And sometimes they seem to be hopelessly worse, like it happened to Jairus. And here is where great faith comes in. Lord, I don't understand what you're doing. Things are getting even worse. But you are the Lord, and I trust in you. So they get to the house, and there's a great commotion, and Jesus says, the child is not dead, but asleep. Now, it doesn't mean that Jesus is denying that she has passed away. Rather, sleep is the Lord's characteristic way of referring to death, which is a tradition that continues among Christians. Someone has fallen asleep, meaning they have gone to the Lord. Why is Jesus saying this? And why is he saying falling asleep? Because he wants to distinguish the death that happens in the reality of faith and the death that happens when there is no faith. When there is faith, we understand that death is only a passage, that the person is not disappeared, is not annihilated, but they have gone on to the fullness of life. And this is what is being ridiculed. I mean, death is death. It's all over. Why even bother? There's nothing to do. That's the mentality of the crowd. And Jesus puts them out and comes into the room where the girl is dead with mom and dad and his three disciples, Peter, James, and John. He grabs the girl by the hand. Again, we see the importance of the touch, but a touch that is full of love, and says, Talitha cum, little girl, I say to you, arise. At that moment, that girl opens her eyes, wakes up. Mom and dad look at her. She can look at mom and dad, looks at Jesus, and everyone is filled with utter amazement. And she gets up and she walks around. And Jesus says, give her something to eat. You see, Jesus wants us to continue our responsibilities, taking care, loving. He does the miracle, and we continue to do the miracle of loving through the gestures, through our loving service to one another. Finally, we see that the Lord gives strict orders not to speak, not to disclose this miracle. And we've seen this happen before, because Jesus doesn't want people to stay at the surface of signs and wonders and miracles. His messianic mission is to go deep, to call people to repentance, to call people to turn to the Lord, to the Father, to be saved. May the Lord give us the grace to believe that these events not only occurred 2,000 years ago, but that the Lord is encountering us today, wants to touch our hand, wants to gaze on our eyes, and bring us to life. And as He does so, so that we can then minister to others. God bless you.